Before I begin, I do want to just briefly say, you know, I'm always trying to come up with good slogans for Cross Creek. My Keep Cross Creek Weird campaign didn't go very far yet. But I think I might want to just call us the home of the champs. Because in our midst today, we are home to Shayla, who's not in here at the moment, but the 6U softball girls area champs. The 10U, actually today, first and second place, I believe, are here, girls from those teams, area champs. And then the MVP of the Pelham, of the 6A state soccer champs is also here, who I've promised not to have stand up. So, we love you no matter how well you do in sports, but we also like it when you do well in sports. You know, if dubious sources are to be believed, there exists in the archive of the 911 tapes in Sulphur Springs, Texas, the following transcript. Operator 911, what's your emergency? Lord have mercy, they done fighting in the sanctuary. I'm sorry, what's going on? Oh no, please put down the baby Jesus. You got to get here quick. The pastor, he going to hit somebody. At a small church in Sulphur Springs, Texas, a pastor was attempted to be ousted by the deacons over what I don't remember. But I do remember that one of the women of the church had to run to the kitchen and call, apparently within view of the sanctuary, because they'd done have a fight. They told the pastor to leave, and the pastor said, no thank you, and then picked up the baby Jesus to make his point. Churches are good at fighting. Baptists are historically known for fighting. They call us battling Baptists. And you know what? It's not all bad. We were born out of fighting. But how we go about it matters. Hey, Jan, I'm hearing a little feedback. Can you crank me down a smidge? Thank you. When the church was founded, Jesus said, hey, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, and I want you to start here, and I want you to go a little further out, and I want you to go a bit further out until you get to the ends of the earth. And then he printed out a 64-page document about exactly how that was to be handled and just handed it out. And everybody was like, gotcha, Jesus, I'm on board. No, wait. That's part of freedom, as Jesus said, here's the general plan, now y'all get busy. And that's what the book of Acts is about, how we, as followers of Jesus, tried to figure out what it meant that God so loved the world, everybody. And so you have this great story of this church fight at the Jerusalem Council. And what had happened was this, since we've kind of jumped ahead in the book of Acts, the Gentiles have really been getting it. We talked last week about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and how the eunuch was kind of this progenitor. And since then, you've got Cornelius, who has joined, and Peter has had to get his mind right about bacon and how it's okay to eat bacon. Y'all know that story, right? Oh, I got a story for you sometime. Just trust me. Peter learned it was okay to eat bacon, and Gentiles were okay. Okay? That's the end of that story. Bacon is always good. So Peter, at first, was kind of like the people in this story. He didn't want the Gentiles to be a part. And so he was like, I don't think so, God, until God said, no, really, I mean it. So Peter had to get on board. Well, then there was this guy named Paul. And Paul was doing amazing work. So amazing that he kept going out on these trips. And he went on these trips, and he went to people who had never heard about the God Yahweh, or they'd never heard that they could belong. And he went to them, and he said, not only can you belong to this lineage of people, but because of God's Son, Jesus, you get in for free. You are welcome here. Well, then right behind Paul, there was this group of people who kept coming and saying, hey, I heard Paul was just in town, and he said you could get in free. You apparently did not get the fine print on that, though. And so they followed behind Paul. Everywhere Paul and Barnabas went, they said, yeah, it's free. There's a few things you have to do, and they're painful. Well, Paul and Barnabas did not take too kindly to this, and they began to share with church leadership about what had happened. They said, hey, look, God is moving among the Gentiles, and people are being saved by grace. They're becoming a part of this. And so we think this is important, and we don't think there is anything that needs to happen to keep them from coming to God. And the people who had been following behind Paul went to the leadership in the church, and they said, we disagree. And so they came together. And the first thing we need to know in about how to healthily handle conflict and about how we're kind of called to be in the world is that the first thing they did was when they started to have an issue that they couldn't resolve in a one-on-one or, you know, two-on-two or a five-on-five game of basketball, they went to a larger group. A lot of times what we like to do when we're upset is get groups into smaller pieces. If we know there's like two people who will probably agree with us, but there's five who won't, we talk to the two, not to the five. We try to figure out who could we get on our side instead of taking this to the group. But in the early church, they had this conversation in front, in public. They said, hey, look, we're not sure what to do about this. And we've got strong opinions. And fortunately, we're a church full of people who don't have strong opinions. I am totally kidding. God, you guys are opinionated. And that's my opinion. It's beautiful to feel deeply. And that's what they did. It was important to them. It wasn't some trivial issue. And so they came together and they kind of made their cases. And then Peter, who does get called Simeon here once, which is kind of weird, he stands up and he makes this amazing case. He said, look, yeah, you know what? Some of us were born Jewish. We're Israelites. We're a part of this lineage where God first called these people out of Egypt. We've been insiders for a long time. But there's this other group of people who have been shunned and been on the outside. And you know what saves them? Grace. And you know what saves us? Grace. And so we actually have more in common than we have different. Jill puts it this way. She often talks about we are sinners in the same boat. You don't get a special boat for your sins that is different than my boat. They all move at the same pace. They all sail the same waters of grace. And we all fall short. And that's exactly what Peter said. He said, look, our people who belong in this special family, we have spent thousands and thousands of years failing to live up to the standards to which we are now asking other people to be held. Now, we would never do that, though, would we? We would never want to talk about somebody else's marriage without looking at our own, would we? We would never want to talk about your particular sin without looking at mine, would we? Because mine are pretty awesome. Which is also, just a side note, I love what Peter does here. I mean, yes, he was singled out by Jesus to say, you are the rock, little rock, upon which I'll build my church. Peter did not let that escape him. He stood up and said, hey, God has called me to be the one to do this. I think that's how I'm going to start every sermon from now on. Hey, or maybe the Fonz. God has called me to tell y'all how it is. And as long as I am telling you that we are all sinners in the same boat, okay. Because that's what the scandal of this gospel is. That's what upsets people, is that it seems like something so amazing as true abundant life ought to have some requirements to belong. Well, it does, by the way, it costs you your life. Jesus was pretty clear about that. He said, you're going to have to pick up your cross and you're going to have to follow, but to be allowed to pick up your cross, there's no requirement. And nobody gets a lighter one than anybody else. I know some of y'all try to hollow y'all's out, making sure everybody else carries your weight. But what Peter says, hey, man, we're all in this. And so Peter says that, and then James, who is kind of the leader of this group, he says, Peter makes a good point. And then Paul and Barnabas, they stand up and they say, listen, everybody who came together, at what God is doing. And so they begin to hear this amazing story of what God is doing, and suddenly, at least for most of them, the things they had been worried about are trumped by the story of God's grace moving in new ways. And suddenly, all this kind of bickering, backwash, it doesn't matter when you are captivated by love being poured out on new people. Here is the really cool thing about God. God is still alive. And God is still moving. And if that is the case, and we don't worship some being that died, then that means that the God who is still alive and is still moving is going to continue to move in new ways. And God's not going to move in partisan ways. He's not going to move for the Democrats or the Republicans or the Baptists or the Methodists or the Catholics or the Orthodox. God is going to move in God's ways. And our job is the same as it was. To fuss about it together until we see God moving. We have a responsibility to the world. To be carriers of a grace that is larger than that which is normally seen. We have a responsibility to our neighbors to be committed to each other, to wrestle with issues we hold deeply. We have a responsibility to the lost, to hold our faith with open hands so that God might add something new to it. We will fight. We are like Rocky. We're just going to keep making movies. That dude's like 80 and could still beat everybody up. That's okay. We will fight. If we are alive and we are passionate and we care about anything, we're going to fight. But we owe it to each other and to the world to do it right and to make sure that we don't let anything stand in the way of God's grace. Amen.